Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. It's Freak Week here on the show. It's always the week leading up to Halloween. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Some of the scariest movies ever made were based on the case files of this guy's mother and father-in-law, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Tony Spira, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Chaz.
Thank you. That movie, The Conjuring.
Yes.
What? Which file was that? What was that case called?
The Conjuring. The first movie, The Conjuring, was based on the Perrin farmhouse in Harrisville, Rhode Island. And that was a big one because I remember years ago when we were lecturing, Ed would always say to me after a lecture, he must have said it over a dozen times, he'd say, you know what would make a great movie? And I said, what, Ed? He said, that Bewitched farmhouse. He used to call it the Bewitched farmhouse. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, it was just a great, great thing. He said, if there's a movie to be made on one of our cases, that's the one. And it was the Perrin family in Harrisville, Rhode Island.
What happened?
Well, that's the case where this model, she was a model from New York, and her husband, who was a truck driver, they bought this house, and they had five children in Harrisville, Rhode Island. Things started to happen in that house that were just crazy. To the model Carolyn, and to the daughters too, where they would see things, hear things, they would be touched, there would be noises in the house, there would be doors slamming open and shut.
AJ would pay to get touched by...
Seriously, yeah. How'd he get in there?
I was wondering when you guys were going to jump in.
So, waiting for it.
It was about 25 seconds in. Carolyn was... One day she was peeling an orange. Now imagine sitting in a chair, you're alone, you're peeling an orange with a small knife. She's very careful doing it. She doesn't cut herself or anything. As soon as she cuts into the orange, though, blood starts to ooze. Red blood starts to ooze from the orange and drip onto her feet, her shoes.
And that wasn't the first thing that happened. So she already had a weird feeling about the house.
Oh, yeah, because because it was an old rustic farmhouse built in the 1700s, she would actually... chain, put something on the door, like a doorstop, to keep the door from closing because it was uneven. All of a sudden, the door would slam shut, and the thing would be gone, the doorstop. One day, she's sitting in front of the fireplace, and it was cold out, she has the fire going. All of a sudden, she said it like this. This glowing sphere of light just came down the chimney, the part where she could see, and extinguished the fire. Went out, and it was this crazy light.
Yeah.
And we call it a psychic light rod. That kind of thing happened. She was out in her garden, and she was tending to her tomatoes. All of a sudden, something pushed her over towards one of the tomato stakes, and she was impaled on a tomato stake.
Okay.
And yeah, time to go.
Yeah, really. When you're shish kebab, definitely.
She was in her closet, and... Suddenly, as she's looking for some clothes, she bends down and she gets whacked with a clothes hanger.
Oh, a wire clothes hanger.
I gotta tell you, that closet scene in The Conjuring.
And the same kind of phenomenon happened to her children. They endured a lot too. But Roger was always away, the husband. He was a long haul truck driver. So he was always away, but he got to the point where he did believe the girls and the wife of what was going on, even though he did not, because he was hardly ever there, witness anything. But when Ed and Lorraine were called in and talked to the family and the things that they heard from the family that were going on, and even Lorraine said she walked up the stairs one time and she felt such an evil, dark presence there that it stopped her in her tracks at the top of the stairs.
So that part of the movie is real, then?
That was mother-in-law.
Yeah.
I mean, in the movie, the second that she walks in there, she's like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a bad case. So that was a case of one of their famous ones, and it's one of the ones that Ed always wanted to make a movie out of. Unfortunately, he never got the chance to know it was even going to be made. And because... He fell ill in 2001, and he passed away in 2006. And then the treatment for the movie was brought to Lorraine in 2009 by someone that knew Ed and Lorraine years and years ago.
Maybe that was Ed working from Beyond the Grave.
Ghostwriter.
I think it could have been. Yep.
Yeah.
I think it could have been.
That's interesting. Did they ever resolve that? Did Ed and Lorraine get whatever, out what it was?
No, it was never resolved because Roger, like I told you, he started to believe, but when they had a... Well, I think they had a seance, actually, with Lorraine doing her mediumship. And while they were there, Carol at the house with all the family and everything.
And that scene's in the movie.
Yeah, Lorraine started to feel something happening. But then Carolyn Perrin, the model from New York, she started to really act strange and funny and, you know, shaking and like a chill came over her. And she was writhing a little bit in the chair. And Roger got upset, and he said, "No more of this. I don't want this in my house.
Done with it."
And he told Ed and Lorraine to leave.
Oh,
and they
wow.
did. They're not going to stay if they're not welcome, and they left. But that family, they did sell the house, and they moved out. They moved away.
You don't put that stuff on the listing, though.
No.
You will feel strange to change when you live here.
A lot of times you'll get that. You know, you'll get family members that are totally believing in it, and then you get one person who the phenomena does not affect.
Oh.
And that's for a reason. The reason it doesn't affect, for instance, Roger...
Well, you said something that was interesting.
They want to cause dysfunction in the family by a believer and a non-believer.
Oh.
So.
But you're saying the husband started believing the kids, but didn't...
But then
didn't say he didn't believe the wife.
He got...
Or he believed the wife.
He kind of believed what was going on, but, you know, when you're a skeptic, you're a skeptic.
Yeah.
Even though you'll say...
I was going to say, well, if he believes the kids... doesn't believe the wife, he must think the wife's behind it.
Could be.
Ah.
And so that causes a lot of turmoil when you have, and this is the demonic doing that, where they pit one against the other. And that's what they do. They try to divide and conquer.
Beautiful story that you told us about after Ed died.
Yes.
Ed and Lorraine Warren, both from Shelton. And or Monroe,
Monroe. Yeah.
I know they came to Shelton a lot, but they you know, everybody knows them from all their talks around here in Connecticut, and just very world famous ghost hunters. And you told this story about after Ed passed, how he sent a sign to Lorraine.
Yeah, he did. He sent several signs to Lorraine. Actually, one was at the Bluebird restaurant in Easton, where she went on September 7th, which was Ed's birthday, and. She told me, she said, Ed always used to say on his birthday, "Come on, Lorraine, I'll take you out. I'll take you out for breakfast on my birthday." And they used to sit at the Bluebird in Easton and have breakfast. So this is after Ed passed. Lorraine said to herself, she said, "I'm going to do the same thing that Ed would have done. I'm going to go to the Bluebird and sit there and make like, you know, I'm with Ed and reminisce." So she went to the Bluebird restaurant. And as she's sitting there, the owner comes up to her and says, "It was September 7th, Ed's birthday. Something strange happened to me, Lorraine," because she knew Lorraine. And Lorraine says, "Well, what?" She goes, "Well, can I talk to you and sit down?" So she sat down with Lorraine, and she said, "You know, I got called in about 4 in the morning from the dishwasher, the person who's washing the dishes. He was here all alone, and all of a sudden, out of the room outside the dining room, she heard someone whistling. So he was a little nervous. He went to the room, didn't see anybody, went back to his washing the dishes in the other part, and he heard the whistling again. And he got so frightened by it, because no one was in the restaurant, that he ran to the phone, called the owner, says, "You got to come right away. Something's wrong here." And then he explained everything to the owner when she came in. And Lorraine was sitting there and listening to the story. And then she said, "Well, can I talk to the chef, to the cook or the dishwasher?"
Yeah.
And he came in and told her the same story. And she said, "You know, my husband, when he was happy, he's a happy person, he always used to whistle," she said. "He whistled a lot when he was very excited or if he was happy about something." She goes, "And that was..." She goes, "I feel that was my husband whistling. And the woman said, "Do you really believe that, Lorraine?" She says, "Yeah, I believe that Ed got here before I did this morning." So, and Lorraine was very psychic, and she knew. So she had that feeling that Ed was there with her. This is a year after he passed.
He also paid the check in advance, too.
So. Yeah, he paid. And then another time,
just take care of it.
Another time she was at a house in Trumbull where there was a demonic entity. Now, she didn't take me. And she said, even later, she said, I don't even know why I didn't call you to come with me. She goes, but I was there with this person and his wife. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, can I do this without my husband? I don't know if I could even continue to work without, even though Tony's helping me. She's thinking this to herself in the house. I don't know if I could do this work. And she said, when she's thinking this, suddenly something grabbed her left hand. She said it was like an electrical charge on her left hand. And she said, I knew instantly that Ed was with me, that I knew from that. And she picked him up psychically that Ed was telling her, you can do it, Lorraine. You can do it without me. I'll always be around. So that's the two.
How many movies have been made based on their cases?
Well, there's The Conjuring. There's The Conjuring 2, which was the Enfield poltergeist, Enfield, England. Conjuring 3, which is the Devil Made Me Do It case in Brookfield, Connecticut. And those were the actual case ones. Then there's the Annabelle movies.
Right. How many of those?
Three of those.
Wow, six movies.
Then there's The Nun.
Seven.
And then The Nun, that's it. And then The Nun 2 is filming right now in France.
Eight.
Awesome.
And then Conjuring 4 is in development.
Nine.
Right now. Yeah, Conjuring 4. So
Insane, the amount of money those cases bringing in. Well,
there should be a movie about them, actually, about the Warrens and how they met and all that stuff. Like, their life story should be a movie.
Yeah, I think they've hashed that around, you know, for Conjuring 4. There's no definite plan of what the, if there's going to be a case or what the case will be, or will it be more based on the family and what they had to go through.
Yeah. What about this story with the werewolf?
Yeah, the werewolf was a big one. That's one that Ed didn't initially want to get involved with, because when Lorraine came to him, they heard this case on Sunday television somewhere. It might have been Incredible Sunday, I believe the name of the show was, back with, like, John Davidson was the host.
Oh, my God.
Years ago. And she heard that. She said, Ed, we're going to England. Why don't we investigate this? And he says, what do you mean? She says, the werewolf, this Bill Ramsey, who turns himself into a werewolf. Ed says, Lorraine, am I going to go out and talk to people about a werewolf? He goes, come on. He didn't believe it.
Or a flea collar, yep.
Until they went to England and talked to the police officers in a small town called Southend-on-Sea, right near London, outskirts. And this is the one where the police were throwing off Bill Ramsey. He threw him off, I should say. He was walking down the street, Bill, about 5 feet 7, 145 pounds. As he's walking down the street, he said he felt it coming again, and he met the werewolf feeling like he wanted to hurt people.
Okay.
And
I've had that feeling.
He would almost hurt.
You should have to work.
So he felt like he was becoming a werewolf. His fingers would gnarl up like claws.
Right.
And his ears would even, like, go backwards, and his teeth would show.
Okay.
And so he's walking, and he says, I have to get to the police station. I want them to lock me up because I know I'm going to do something bad.
Right.
He gets to the front of the police department, and a police officer walks out and says, you know, can I help you? He's acting very strange.
Yeah.
He attacks the police officer.
So
the police officer, his first name was Terry. He was about 6 feet three, about 240 pounds. He said, Bill attacked them. And he said, I kicked this gentleman, Bill Ramsey, right between the legs as hard as I could.
Right.
Right between. He said, and it had no effect on him whatsoever.
Wow.
He goes, and the guy grabbed me and put me to the ground. Five other police officers came out of the police station to assist their buddy. And six of them tried to subdue Bill Ramsey. And as the police described it, he threw them right off like they were matchsticks.
Right. It wasn't like drugs or violence like that, PCP or something like that?
No.
No?
He wasn't under any influence of any alcohol or drugs or anything. And they finally were able to get him into the police station. They put him in a padded cell.
I would.
The opening of the cell, you know, where you could check in on the person, was about a foot wide, maybe 6 inches high.
The dude looks like a werewolf.
Yeah, you saw
creepy
him.
Creepy looking dude.
Yeah. He's a creepy looking guy.
Right.
And so one of the police officers was checking on him in his cell, and as they're walking towards the cell, they could see Bill's head, his shoulder, and his left arm totally out of that little hole.
Oh.
He said it was unbelievable the way no human could get themselves that far out of that little hole. And they said, actually, when they first subdued him, the six police officers, they had to call the police surgeon in. He used horse tranquilizer, an injection of horse tranquilizer. He says it just about calmed him down enough where we could subdue him and get him into the cell.
They didn't put papers down on the ground because, you know, it's a dog.
he was actually...
Take him out first!
Man, there's just never enough time with this guy.
I know. We just get rolling.
It just goes by so fast.
Damn.
I could listen to him talk all day.
He was actually... You know, he was actually exercised here in Connecticut by Bishop Robert McKenna.
He's cool now, right?
He's fine now. Okay. Right after the exorcism, he was all those.
Occasionally, he'll lift his leg, pee on a tree, but besides that, he's fine.
Just him and the newspaper.
Tony Spira, thank you so much for coming in, and very excited for you and your crew.
Thank you
for Paracon this Saturday, Mohegan Sun. I mean, a lot of people going to go. There's a lot of great things to see and hear and do.
We still have a few tickets left. Not many. They can go to nespr.ticketbud.com, nespr.ticketbud.com.
Give that to Alyssa. She'll put it on the website.
Okay, very
cool.
Well.
All right.
Now, I hope you guys can show. I know you guys are busy. You're probably not going to show up, but if you do show up, we'll take care of you.
All right.
Take care of you this time.
Thank you.
For sure. Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Hey, go to hell last time.
I'll walk right by.
See you later, Chad.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Hey, how you been, good?
Thank you, Tony.
You're very well.
All right. You're taking full responsibility for this.
I know.
If there's any health issues.
I know.
Brain damage because oxygen cut off from your brain.
Trust me, there's brain damage already.
Yeah.
The fact I'm doing this. This is your first tip off right
it's
there.
It's stunt or stupid.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I am doing these. I'm doing. See, I told you it already happened.
Yeah.
I'm doing the saltine challenge. And the saltine challenge is you have to eat 6 saltine crackers within 60 seconds. Supposedly, it cannot be done because something happens with your mouth and the saliva disappears and you're like, and you're exactly like that. Yeah. So.
Oh, that's a really nice job explaining that.
Yes, thank you.
So 6 saltines in less than 60 seconds,
right.
No water.
Right, exactly.
Good luck.
Thank you. So let me know when the 60 seconds begins.
All right, Phil. That tick, tick, tick.
How many seconds?
60.
Okay.
Why, what do you think I said, 16?
60.
Shut up.
All right, here we go.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Okay, cracker one.
3.
Go. Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Don't you have to put them all in at once?
Nope. Nope.
Wait, 3?
Nope.
Okay. Do you, Oh, boy.
You're so tired. Houston, we have a problem.
What?
How many?
4.
What? 4.
You got 30 seconds left.
5 and 6. Oh, crumb came out. We're not going to count that. Don't worry about it.
What was that?
What'd you say?
15 seconds.
He does not look good.
5 seconds.
What's happening? Tell us what's happening.
And time.
What's that now? Let's see how much you have in there. Open it up. That's a lot. Yeah. Look at the other camera. What the hell was that sound?
It feels like giving a dog peanut butter and he just gets jammed. It's like wedged between my mouth and my gum on the sides and the front, like chewing tobacco up top. I mean, there's cracker everywhere.
Ah.
If I sneezed right now, I'd repaper this whole place wallpaper. I like all your stucco. No, AJ sneezed a mouthful of crackers. Oh, God, everywhere. I feel like they probably did this to, like, Mr. Ed to make his mouth move to talk.
Mr. Ed, a television show from the 60s.
They but it was a resurgence in the 80s, too. So.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
There was a new Mr. Ed, remember that?
All right, no one cares.
Anyway.
So.
Appreciate that.
All right.
There are all kinds of strategies people have attempted with this,
oh,
by the
really?
Way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you look any of these up, AJ?
No.
Of course not.
Did you do any research?
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Do any planning?
No. Nah. I bought crackers.
Yeah, good.
And brought water.
Did you buy them because the box was open already when you came in?
I opened the box here.
It's a joke.
He just didn't
lie. He got so mad.
I'm like, do not touch my murder switch.
Do not.
I don't know. Is that a success or fail?
That's a fail.
Really?
That's a massive fail.
That sucks.
Yeah, the challenge is you have to chew and swallow in under 60 seconds all of the crackers.
Let's do it again.
All right. Well, why don't you learn something? Why don't you learn a strategy?
All right. What's the strategy you got, Phil?
So they call this the chunking method.
Chunking method. What's
that? So you do three crackers.
Right.
Then two, then one.
Three crackers and two, then one.
Right. Because the most amount of saliva you're going to have in your mouth during this challenge is at the beginning. So you take the bulk of the crackers at the beginning and then try to get the last three down in smaller increments.
Okay. And all right, so you had some water. You have fresh saliva.
Yep. Exactly, yes. Okay. To my mouth excited. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right,
here we go.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Three, two, go. And all three in. Crumbs falling out of mouth. AJ chewing.
Yeah, you got to move faster than this.
Face of great concentration. Can he chew crackers?
That's 10 seconds down.
Stand already. At the same time. 10 seconds down.
I think you want to get them all in your mouth before 30 seconds, so you can have, yeah.
Okay, that's four. Or was that five and six? What? We're at five? We're five.
One more.
What?
One more.
No more?
One more. 30
seconds down.
Okay. All six are in the mouth now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No water. Don't laugh.
15 seconds left. He's struggling.
Yeah. Oh.
5 seconds. Come on.
You're close,
He's
man.
Close.
I can tell you're close.
Time.
Oh, get out.
59 seconds.
Get out.
I can't believe you actually did it.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe.
Yeah, that's the thing they didn't think about when they put this challenge together.
No.
Someone like AJ doesn't need oxygen to the brain.
Thank you. I think.
Wow. That's really remarkable that you actually did it.
I know. That was a total mistake. At the last time, I just went, boom. It's like swallowed everything.
The chunking method.
Apparently, that's the way you do it. That's the way you do it.
Wow.
My mouth is all chafed. It's not easy. Because the three, the first three was like, oh my God, because it's like, it's fine for a second. It goes, boy. And it's like, I don't know if the saliva makes it all blow up and turn almost like cement like. So then I had to still stuff three more in there. And so I did the one, then the second one, then the last one. And then as soon as I got that last one, I had to start swallowing. So I had to move the stuff that was already like paste inside my mouth down my throat and just keep on recycling it. That way my tongue.
You are the most interesting post-event interview. And then I went, and I went, ah. And I had with my tongue, and then, ah. And I went, whoop.
Sometimes,
and I was good.
Sometimes words escape me.
Sometimes.
You for the show. Oh.
Wow, it's really interesting. I'm shocked that you actually completed something that was hard.
I mean, I kind of came. I got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you did good.
Thank you. Can you turn pro with this or what? Is there money involved?
Can you try it one more time?
No. You'll quit with your head thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going with that. Want to try it?
No.
Anybody? I am impressed.
Want to try it?
It seems very difficult.
It is.
It's a challenge for a reason.
It's
Melissa? All right, come on in.
Melissa's going to try it.
I bet you this is one of those moments where it's like, well, if you guys would have just stopped when AJ completed it, it would have been, everyone would still be alive.
Right.
Should I be able to hear?
Yeah, you want to know AJ?
Yeah.
Want to record here?
Yep.
Yep.
You all set there?
Okay. I can't hear anything, but I can hear you.
You can just use the volume switch.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. Hang on a second. Let me get the...
Are you going to do the chunking method?
I always do the chunking method.
She's known
for the
chunking method.
It's the only method I know.
Okay. Right. Recording. So the chunking is what? Three first?
Three crackers, then two, then one, and you got to get them all in before the first 30 seconds go by.
Okay. And Phil, you going to keep time?
I will.
Okay, cool.
Three, two, and go. She's got body movement. She's doing the floss.
Yeah. Oh, God.
10 seconds. What?
That was not promising.
It
was
20 not, seconds.
She's doing like the funky chicken or something.
Right, it looks like she's having a seizure.
Right.
See, now if she does start choking, we're not going to know.
Well, I have no idea. I think it's her method.
Right.
Boy, some Casey and the Sunshine Band we're here right now.
35 seconds right
35
now.
Seconds. Come on, choo-choo-choo. Choo-choo-choo.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Oh, and five
that's
are five. In and
that's
six are in.
That's six.
You got 15 seconds left to get them down.
Oh, yeah, same thing. It's not going to happen.
Remember that monkey that had the symbols? Bongo, was it?
5 seconds.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement going on.
Oh, she's just punching herself in the gut now.
I don't know how that helps.
Do not release
and time.
In my face.
Time.
That was not easy.
No.
Don't do it.
Bobby.
I'm impressed with you.
Look, you're freaking good.
I'm impressed with you.
I hope you said something
It
good.
Is very impressive.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is never going down.
Surprised, AJ. You did a good job, man.
Yeah, I know. What the hell happened?
Yeah.
Right.
I like that AJ made sure to get that on video.
It sounds like Alyssa still has five in her mouth.
Do we have any pie?
See, you did good
I
on
like
pie
to watch
last
my crackers
week.
Down with pie.
There, so good. Mm.
It's got a cracker crust
right.
That pie.
She's still working on it. There's something about those saltines. They just dry your freaking mouth right out.
Immediately.
They do. They do.
Immediately.
Yep.
You know, it's so funny. Like, I put peanut butter on them.
Oh.
That would, you know, what was I thinking when I was a kid? I put peanut butter
on. Oh, my dad loved that.
Sometimes I'd make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches using saltines.
Yeah.
I still do that.
Yeah, my dad used to make butter and saltine sandwiches.
Oh, man, that sounds fun.
It's a perfect pairing.
And you wonder why he had a quadruple bypass at age 58.
It's the salt and the butter. It just works so well together.
Yes, it does.
Guys.
Right. Yes, it does.
I don't mean to brag, but I did it in like 3 minutes.
Okay, cool. I brag.
I don't mean to brag.
At least you completed it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chad.
Exactly right.
Wow. It's impressive.
Thank you.
And
on
I don't
that.
Even know what to say now.
I'm going
to
end on that.
I allotted extra time for medical emergencies and such.
Right.
So, good.
I could give you one if you want.
Yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah,
glad everyone made it through.
You don't have to. We're just saying we were prepared for one.
Yeah,
should it happen?
This contingency,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. Always be prepared for choking.
Wow. You got it done?
Okay.
Congratulations. Jonathan Carbuti, Carbuti & Company Realtors on. You ever have to list a haunted house, Jonathan?
No, I never I never listed a haunted house myself. But I remember my dad telling me when I was in high school that he sold a property in Trumbull to a young couple. And after they closed on the house, they had things that went missing all the time in the home.
Wow.
And then I guess a couple weeks after the sale, he started doing work on the home. And I guess every time he started doing work on the home, he heard a baby crying.
Oh, that's creepy.
I know.
That's creepy.
Very creepy.
Yeah. That's a sound I never want to hear.
Yeah, how do you list that very lively property?
When you're not supposed to be hearing it, that's horrifying.
Very spirited property.
Yeah.
Oh.
You'll never be alone.
I don't know what they ever did with the house. I definitely think they sold it, but I'm not sure how they sold it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, scary.
Seriously.
That's enough to make me think we got to go.
Yeah, baby crying? Nope, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, kid.
No way.
Like, oh, what
AJ
that
doesn't like
this is hell! Sorry.
So I wanted Jonathan to talk about this property in Westport.
Oh.
So beautiful. So beautiful. I'm like, how do people live like this?
Yeah. It's the lady who created Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I had no idea it made that much money.
Oh, that show it has like a million seasons. Oh.
Is it not still on? I thought it was still on.
Is it?
I thought so.
I have no idea. The Anatomy's got to be great by now.
Can you see, can you see how many seasons? But the woman who created Grey's Anatomy bought an 11-bedroom New England colonial home in Westport for $15.17 million, and the house isn't even on the water.
Ah, oh, it's just, I got overhead view over here. I'm just looking, I'm like, oh my God. It's like a place the Queen of England would live in. I mean, that's how nice it is. Manicured lawns. There's walls over here. There's a pool over there. There's other houses involved. There's a tennis court. Yes. I'm like, there's no reason to leave this house ever. Inside, there's like a game room. There's a bowling alley. There's a basketball court.
Yeah.
Really? Who lives like
there's
this?
There's a concession stand inside the
yes,
house.
With a popcorn machine and everything. Who lives like this? Oh my God, I had to prop a door open, make sure it was closed.
Currently airing, it is 19 seasons in.
19 wow. seasons.
Even the mice left my house.
I think she wrote Bridgerton too, if I'm not mistaken.
Damn.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
So she's got some coin, huh? Do you want to adopt anybody?
Yeah.
Just saying.
I was, man, $15 million. Do you think the house is worth it? Of course, it's worth whatever someone's willing to pay for it, but...
I definitely think it's worth it if you've got the money. I mean, heck, what were they saying in the article? That anything not on the water is that sells over $10 million is a rarity?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if I'm spending $15 million, I want to be on the water.
Yeah.
Me too.
7.5 acres, which means you can have a barbecue and, like, someone isn't bothering you next door.
Yeah. You could have a band.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was thinking. $15 million for water or privacy.
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 Oh,
yeah.
Joyous privacy.
Well, I was reading that they bought it from the Melissa and Doug toy company, the founders, Doug and Melissa Bernstein, who actually built the house themselves. I was
wow.
just thinking in my mind, a toy company? I mean, amazing.
Yeah, some toys.
Yeah, I look at that house, and this is a stupid complaint, but let's just say you use it as a regular person.
Okay, yeah, that's okay? Your house.
You park in that, and now do you look at the overhead shot? You park in that garage, and now you have to walk to the kitchen.
Segway.
Like groceries. Like,
Segway.
I know if you live in that house, you're not doing normal people stuff,
right?
But I'm thinking about the practicality of, all right, let's just say I live there.
Yeah.
You know, I pull in. And, like, the groceries, you're walking. Oh, I forgot my keys in the car. I'll be back in half an hour.
Right, right. There's your cardio.
Hey, Chaz, yeah. If you live in that house, are you shopping for your own groceries?
I would
I think
do.
Someone else is carrying
them. Yeah, no. I would do everything myself.
I would have to cut the cost.
Well,
yeah. I wouldn't mow that lawn.
No. Well, yeah, it might be kind of fun day. You know, it's
yeah.
all day.
Once in a while.
Beer breaks in between.
No,
have a
that
cigar
you get
too.
Done mowing.
Right.
And you start back where you started.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The front's growing again.
I was looking at that house in the grounds. That whole pool area is like a tropical oasis with
that
plantings.
That pool area is amazing.
Different levels.
Yeah, I could live just one section of that house.
And there's different like hot tubs around the pool, and the pool
yes.
looks very natural. The stone looks all natural.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Like it's a paradise.
It really
and
is.
I'm not interested in a pool area, but if I could have that. Like, just, I wake up and that's there? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is exactly how I want it to be. But because I can't afford that, I don't have that.
The only thing that got me was I'm looking at the inside of that house and everything is, like, all, you know, planks and, like, you know, beams and stuff like that. I'm like, wow, mm-hmm. one match, this place is going up like Tinder.
Yeah. Well, to get back to just the pool area alone.
Yeah.
Look how many steps it is from the pool to the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, would you like some lemonade? Okay. I'll be back in 10 minutes.
Golf cart. Golf cart.
Golf cart?
Golf cart, yes. Big enough to have a golf cart. I would like a mini bike.
No, but I just think, like, as beautiful as that house is, isn't that a design flaw? Wouldn't you want to pull, like, five steps out your back door? Whatever the room is, the kitchen, the entertainment, centerpiece of the house, wouldn't you want the pool like steps off of that?
Yeah, but to counter that, you can have a pool party and disturb somebody else in the house.
I kind of want both. I know what you're saying, Chaz, because you want to be like near the pool and then just hear like, lunch is ready, and then you're eating 10 seconds later.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, done. But I know what AJ's saying. It's like you also want, like, if the party's going and you just want to disappear and, like, not hear the party
it's
anymore.
It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. You're still going.
Yep.
You're asleep. You're good.
No, but think about we have poor Jonathan on the phone here sitting. but think about if you're having a party, what are people doing? They're going to be in your kitchen. You want them in the pool table room and the game room. So you want the kitchen and the game room. You want the game room off the... Like, I'm just saying, if you have sick money and you're building a house like this,
yeah,
wouldn't you put the game room off of the kitchen and then that pool is right outside there? So you could be in the game room looking outside to what's happening at the pool. Like, everyone's together, but they're in different places.
Right. It looks like there's a fire pit behind the pool area. There's like a little circle of stones. I'm assuming that's what that is. And then there's like a gazebo-type structure that looks like it's on the walkway from the main house to the pool area. So I have no idea what's in there. I would assume bar. But right. That, like, as long as I have bar next to pool, I'm happy.
Bar next to pool.
Yes.
Great caveman. Cool.
I looked at a house in Newtown back when I was looking for the house that I'm in now. And it had this giant, like, banquet room, all windows, for basically, like, a foot off the floor up to the ceiling. And it, like, stretched out right to the pool area. And I thought, what a great design this is, because you have your pool table, you have your bar in this room, the kitchen's right here, and then the swimming pool's right there.
Yeah, when they see Nana in a bikini, you lose your appetite. I can't eat anymore.
Yeah. But I thought, Jonathan, looking at this house, like, let's just say you're an agent. Like, you don't schedule a 30-minute showing. That's like 2 or 3 hours. You have to go through this massive house.
Yes, that's like half a
point
day.
Point out the features. Yeah. Like, you can't just walk through these rooms.
No.
I've had couples spend 50 minutes at 1,100 square foot home. I could imagine how long you're going to go through this home. Right? And then just standing outside for another 25 minutes talking at the car with their agent.
Right.
The big question is, what is the commission in a sale like this?
Let's just say it's 6%. 15 million. What's 6% of 15
million? I suck
million?
At math. I have no idea.
All right, let's just say it's 5%. So it's 1.5, so $700,000.
Private sale, too.
Private sale. So that's person to person?
Well, I think it was a private sale in the sense that it was an off market deal that they brokered.
Okay.
So I don't know how many agencies were involved with this one, but yeah.
Say it's one agent.
I think
$700,000 if it's 5%.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
When's the next seminar, Jonathan?
When's the next career night?
I just found my weekends.
Well, it's definitely we haven't set a day yet, but it's definitely gonna be next month.
Okay, cool.
All right, very good. All right, Jonathan, thank you. Appreciate it. How's the market? Good?
Market's good. 3 houses went on Friday morning. 2 of them are under contract.
Beautiful.
So,
still
properties
hot.
Are still moving.
Nice.
Still shortage in Connecticut.
Wow. Awesome. All right, let us know when that career night. AJ Watson, Jonathan Carbuti, Carbuti & Company Realty. Stump the Chumps, 1-877-764-2535. Category. Comedy movies from the 1990s. Derek?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's
Happy
your question?
Monday.
You too.
Okay, the question. Who was Zoolander's evil nemesis?
The character.
Never saw the movie.
The character or the actor.
I know it's Owen Wilson's character. Hansel.
No.
Hansel's so Ron hot Phil. Right now.
Will Ferrell.
Wrong Phil. No, wrong Phil. The character's name.
The character.
The evil
name.
Nemesis in Zoolander.
Mugatu? Which character?
The evil nemesis, the bad guy.
The evil nemesis, well, bad guy.
Mugatu.
Mugatu?
Mugatu. Damn, you got
Phil.
It.
Look at you, Phil. Woo!
Oh, my God.
Good job, Phil.
You're a fast Googler, Phil.
He's very honest.
Yeah.
There's a difference between a nemesis and the villain, by the way. but that's okay.
Oh, roasted. Oh, roasted, toasted.
Have a good one, guys.
Welcome to my world.
1-877-764-2535. You can Google, we cannot.
Right.
Everybody on and gets in and gets one past us, gets in the running.
Right.
We are the judges of these questions.
So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stupid questions. Ryan in Milford.
Oh.
What is the name of Billy Madison's third grade teacher?
Veronica Vaughn.
Damn it.
Bill.
Wow.
Jesus.
So proud of
the main character
Nani
in the movie.
Savant.
Well, yeah, but she's so pretty. I don't know her name.
She's so pretty.
That was the same girl.
I was just looking at her.
I was like, am I a lesbian?
That was the same girl who played Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter in that other movie.
Oh, yeah. It's not coming to me, though.
What is happening in there?
Look at this lady. She's going through in slow motion.
Why am I feeling things?
I don't know what her name is.
I feel a strange tingling down below. Oh, my God.
She's so feminine. I love girly girls.
This changes everything.
Mom, what's going on?
I left the theater a different person. Thank you, Billy Madison.
Thank you, Mrs. Vaughn.
Want to touch the high knee?
Emma in Wallingford.
Who said "You're killing me, Smalls" in The Sandlot?
Oh.
Hamilton, the Babe Porter.
Him. Good job, Phil.
Wow.
I've watched that movie 12,000 times.
Also, I can picture you doing that too. Yeah,
that's a very good.
I've never seen it.
I don't know if I'd call that a comedy. It's a kids' movie, but we got
classic.
It right.
So.
Unintentionally funny.
You lose.
Good night, Emma.
Thanks, Emma.
Bye, Emma.
People are afraid the lines have dropped off here.
Because Phil's killing it.
We're talking WWE tickets.
Smacky.
Gotta earn it.
Friday night SmackDown in Hartford.
Smacky smack.
Smacky smack.
As opposed to the usual SmackDown in Hartford.
And the category is comedies from the 1990s.
Right.
Also, Zoolander was 2001, so it would have been disqualified. Anyway.
That's right, Phil.
Wow.
You tell him.
Unbelievable.
That I did have to look
Phil's
at.
Phil's on fire
today.
You've been fact-checked.
Derek was mad before, and now he's kicking his radio.
Right. I will get you, Phil.
He's
Evo,
angry.
Phil. Evo.
Yeah, no one, everyone's afraid. Wow. No one's trying. 1-877-764-2535.
Try anything. We might not know
it. It's such a nice category.
You got us right where you want. We're all distracted looking up pictures of Veronica Vaughn right now.
I know. I'm drooling.
Alyssa picked out the category.
I'm sorry, guys.
You all are.
Jasmine,
you have not helped us at all.
It's because you know it. I'm just proud to know you right now.
Good comeback.
Chaz and AJ. Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
yes.
Mr. Deeds.
Ooh, love it.
What's the name of the city that he brought the reporter to?
I know.
Winchestertonville, Ohio.
Close. You're close. That's
okay,
not
go.
Our final answer.
Close.
Go, Phil.
Winchestertonfieldville, Iowa.
Yep.
Oh, that's Phil, I love you.
Jesus.
That was impressive.
How do people know this stuff?
Now you know how we feel when we hear you talk.
Thank you. No one ever uses the term knowing in my name at all.
That was 70s. I'm like, really? You know all of this?
Yeah. And that movie was 2002, by the way.
Man.
Oh, wow.
You've been fact-checked.
Chaz and AJ, what's your question?
Who are the three main characters in the movie Airheads?
Oh,
God, Phil. Please know it.
The actors.
Brendan Fraser,
okay. Yep.
Steve Buscemi, and
Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
But he said
you
characters.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yep.
Thank you.
He said the actors, so.
You guys killed that.
Oh, he said actors?
Yeah.
Yep.
I like those questions better.
It's a great movie, too.
Chaz and AJ, what's your question?
One of them
hey, who
Chaz.
Said you broke my heart, Fredo? I know it was you.
That's from, like, is the 1970s.
Not a comedy.
Right.
It's a comedy.
You broke my heart.
Is that also Billy Madison? No, it's Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, it's Happy Gilmore.
That guy.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
Good job, guys. Tally, hoo-hoo.
That was my favorite call of the day.
Chaz and AJ, Derek's back. What's your question?
Yeah, I got a question. Who is floating in the swimming pool in Titanic?
Jack.
What?
What's swimming?
Floating swimming pool.
Is Titanic a comedy?
It's Jack on the piano.
What the hell are you talking about?
No, it's Kate Winslet. It's Kate Winslet.
Unless you found a Titanic sinking funny.
King Winslet?
King Winslet. I'm so sorry. I had so much detail.
You think Kate Winslet?
Titanic isn't a comedy.
No way.
Really? No.
Yeah. Derek, are you messing with this? This is the tragic movie.
No, it's a classic movie. It's a comedy.
What?
You've been
fact-checked. Okay?
What the hell are you talking?
It's devastating.
He had a garage door slam his head.
That's true.
Right.
Chazanay J, what's your question?
Hey, I got a question about Fear and Loathing.
Okay.
Who did Christina Ricci play? What was Christina Ricci's character?
Are we talking about the movie Casper?
No. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
You have to listen to the whole question.
Right.
You watched Casper?
Listen.
I don't know the
answer. I'm not good at scary movies. That's the best I could do.
Right.
Yeah, ended up being the love interest of Johnny Depp.
Oh.
Or, you know, whoever he was playing.
In real
Hunter
life?
Thompson.
Hunter Thompson.
Yeah.
Hunter
yeah.
S. Thompson.
As far as I go.
Hunter S.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer.
I've never seen that movie.
I have no idea.
Oh, it's Lucy in the Sky. I think they just call her Lucy.
With diamonds?
Lucy in the Sky with diamonds.
Yeah, that movie's like tripping out, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's a dark comedy they've got it labeled as.
Okay.
Okay. It's from the 90s?
1998.
Yeah, it's okay. From 1998.
Hold on, you're going to WWE.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.